it's a website that allows anybody to track and share what's happening in their state legislatures. It's based on our previous project, opencongress.org, which people use to track bills and votes and members of the federal U.S. Congress. We've taken that model and brought it down first to the level of state legislatures and coming soon to cities and even local levels of government.
And so, first off, why do this?
Sure. So we believe in the wide-ranging virtues of government transparency. So it all starts with public data. We believe that data about bills and what government is doing should be available to the public in full. And right now, while state government websites make some of this data available, it's not in formats that can be easily used, and it's not things that people check every day. I mean, when was the last time you heard someone talk about a bill that they were checking out on their state Senate website? So while there is a core group of insiders in the state houses who really know what's going on, we believe that actions about bills and votes in state legislatures ought to be available to the public so that everyone can watchdog them. So we're seeking to make the process easier to follow, even if you don't have specialized insider knowledge.
So, take a step back. How difficult was this to do? I mean, and I know at least on the federal level, a lot of stuff is input in forms that you can easily get access to it. I have to imagine that's true on the state and local level as well.
Yeah, putting together the data that went into Open Government was a challenge on a number of levels. The site is a joint project of the Participatory Politics Foundation and the Sunlight Foundation. And for most of the past year, we've been working on scraping data from state legislative websites. So this is the bill data that you see had to be manually scraped by teams of volunteer programmers. And then we aggregate it on Open Government with a variety of other data sources, including news coverage and campaign contribution information. So what comes out is a more comprehensive view of what's happening in state government and sort of a holistic view of bills in context. But the process of obtaining the data was not at all easy, and it's not easy for the federal level either, because even the Library of Congress does not yet make their data about bills in the U.S. Congress available to the public in ways that are fully open.
That's, of course,
we think there's a huge deficit in public knowledge.
That's the Thomas website, and I know Open Government folks have been pressing the Library of Congress for a long time to put this in some kind of format that makes it easily accessible, shareable, all those kinds of things.
That's right. So there's a set of principles called the Open Government Data Principles that are available at opengovdata.org, and they're easily achievable given straightforward the technical resources that we have today. What we seek is for government at all levels, as the primary source of this information, to make it available in full to the public with meeting the best standards of contemporary technology. And then from this foundation, we seek to build a really diverse ecosystem of tools on top of this so that the public can have different options for tracking the issues that they care about and what's really happening in their community. Our ultimate goal is to create a more deliberative democracy and to fight what we see as the systemic corruption of the role of money in politics, where members spend too much time fundraising and not enough time paying attention to the concerns of their constituents.
So why don't most organizations, most governmental organizations, it seems to make sense. There's a standard out there. Use that standard. Is it that they were, a lot of these sites, I mean, Thomas has been around for a long time. Most of them were created before these standards existed. Or is it just they're busy just trying to do what they are able to do? Why not use these standards?
That's a good question. There's a lot of explanations for them, and some of them are sort of mundane that have to do with bureaucracy. But fundamentally, it's a cultural issue. We're seeking to the open government movement is truly seeking a cultural shift in the part of state houses across the country and in the federal U.S. Congress. We need them to understand that that this is a demand on the part of the grassroots for data that's generated for the public and needs to be released in license-free formats for the public interest so that we can have effective oversight. We're interested in facilitating a cultural change in state houses across the country and in the federal U.S. Congress so that they can see that publishing this public data in full and immediately is the first step towards a sufficient level of transparency in our democracy. And with this transparency, we can rebuild the process of people having trust in government, and this, in turn, we argue, will result in better public policy outcomes for everyone in America.
Let me ask you to take a step back, because we've seen some, and certainly the Obama administration on the federal level has made this pretty a pretty important plank of what they've tried to do, and we've seen certain initiatives where they've gone out and asked for help, and a little bit they hear crickets. They hear a lot from the open government community, but almost you get a sense from some people that Joe Citizen almost doesn't want to participate, even if they're invited to.
Well, I don't quite agree. So I feel our organization sees the steps towards openness taken from the level of the White House as tremendously encouraging. So on the part of the level of conception, I give the Obama administration an A for effort. Then on the level of follow-through, the grade would probably be a little bit lower. But in part, that's not entirely up to them. That's because besides the technical challenges involved with liberating such a huge amount of data, there's also, you know, an ingrained bureaucratic culture that's very used to turf wars within government agencies and clinging on to data and not publishing it in open standards because, you know, who's interested in making data about, you know, your agency's budget available in full online? Well, this is what we demand, and this is the necessary first step for us to go forward with a really more transparent and responsive government. And then, as far as making popular tools for the public, we see what we do. There's a huge appetite for political information out there right now, and Open Congress is an example of that. So our site receives over 1 million visits per month, and we have 150,000 registered users who are all tracking and sharing information about the bills in the U.S. Congress. So I don't at all accept the idea that maybe this doesn't have a mass market appeal. We're doing very, very healthy traffic, and some bill forums on our site run to more than 50 or 75,000 comments with people trading information and sharing peer-to-peer communications about specific bill provisions. From here, we can build it out even further. I mean, open government ideas have been played with around for quite a while, and they've been in the discourse, and they're covered in the media a little bit in passing. But in a way, we're still at the beginning of this revolution. We're seeking to build something that's as popular as Facebook is for social networking. We're trying to build that for government transparency at the federal level, and then for, you know, community organizing at the local level, so that you can get engaged with what your neighbors are saying and what the spending priorities in your local region are. There's a whole ecosystem of tools out there that we have in mind and that we seek to build, and the foundation of it is opening up this data. So open government is the first step towards making a popular site for tracking your state legislatures. For tracking your state legislator, that makes it as easy as staying in touch with your friends as Facebook.
What are some of the lessons learned? What has worked really well, and what still is going to be the focus in the year ahead?
Okay, so there's a few places where people who are interested can dive in and see more about some of the cost effectiveness and the positive public feedback that agencies receive when they take this step to comply with the open government data principles and liberate their data. I'm calling from New York City, where I live, and one of the New York State Senate here is one of the only state legislative chambers in the entire country that really gets openness and that has made their data open. So at the nysenate.gov/open, you can see a whole slew of case studies and cost effectiveness resolutions based on just adopting open source technology and bringing in and harnessing the power of the crowd to contribute ideas and, you know, do oversight and it's essentially, you know, it's been called wiki government by Professor Beth Novick, who's of NYU. Mm-hmm. The idea that, you know, we can build a Wikipedia for government and it can live in a whole bunch of different places. It's not just big institutions though, like the New York State Senate. These lessons can be applied to government at very, very local levels. In fact, the city of Manor, Texas, that's Manor, Texas, is now leading the nation in terms of open data and adopting open standards and open source technology to find solutions for their city. There's the umbrella organizations for some of this are called Civic Commons, and also the Code for America Project is bringing open technology to cities and states across the country. So open government is the public-facing website that takes the data from state legislatures and then makes it user-friendly and brings communities together to really get engaged around it.
Anything I didn't ask you about that I should have?
So Open Government is launching, this is a beta version, and
okay.
We launched with information for five state legislatures. They're California, Louisiana, Maryland, Texas, and Wisconsin.
Now, why those states? Do they have particularly open sites?
There's a mix of reasons. We chose those five states simply for technical reasons, because the data suggested that we go in that direction, but mm-hmm. They weren't necessarily the five easiest. It just to build out open government for all 50 states, for technical reasons, it made sense to start with those five states.
Mm-hmm.
But over the next year, we need nonprofit funding support in order to roll out open government to all 50 states and dozens of major cities. And eventually, we look forward to, you know, in a year or two, you having a page on opengovernment.org that you can go to see what's happening in your neighborhood, your city, and your state.
And is that the eventual goal, is all 50 states all across the country?
All 50 states all across the country, and dozens of major cities. There's already more than a dozen major cities that have made some data public. So we seek resources to bring that in. And also drilling down to the hyper-local level is something that we're interested in doing. And last, this isn't just U.S. centric. Open source technology can go across borders. So we're interested. This is a truly international platform. We would love there to be a version of open government for other countries, and to see this open source model for user friendly engagement really take root and be adopted in all sorts of different locales.